Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies Podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies Podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson. Stop trying to change up the intro. Let's just keep it simple. Oh, it's me, Ellie Gibson. What do you want?
What's
your problem?
Nothing now. Thank you. I'm comfortable with this. I'm so delighted because it's summer holidays, everyone. And who better to have in the house than Susie from Wiki, from your website.
Oh, wow.
Hey. I drew a blank. I'm really sorry.
That's so awful. Unprofessional.
I know.
I'm so sorry, Susie. What was your name?
Sorry. Who better to have than Susie from Wiki Places for Kids?
Hi!
I love your website!
Yay, I know, you've been there loads.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And you've got an app.
I have.
It's so awesome.
You've got to understand, Susie. She spends an awful lot of time on Tinder and Hinge and Bumble. That's really what the phone is for these days. She just gets very confused with the websites.
Thank you for coming to join us. Sorry, please stay. You've got so much to tell us. It's summer holidays, right? And so your website is like the one stop.
Your website, Wiki Kids. That's
That's the one. Wiki Places for Kids.
Wiki Places for Kids.
Such a good start, isn't it? I'm so sorry. Thank you for driving all this way to be kind of insulted. But yes, we're heading into this, you know, the slump of the summer holidays, right? Where you're like, we've done everything. We've gone to the park a billion times. Anyway, tell us about your amazing website and you, wonderful Susie.
And anyway. Also, it is quite normal for us to talk for the first 2 minutes of the podcast about the guest getting a fucking look in.
She's
so
like,
again,
what have I done?
Offended.
I could be at home doing something else right now.
But you're not, you're here, Susie. Welcome to the podcast. Please tell us about wikiplacesforkids.com.
Wow.
She's like, hold it down.
Yeah.
Really, like the BBC. So professional.
So I basically set up Wiki Places for Kids back in 2017 because I had two kids by this point. And I'd been working in London my whole life. And basically it got to that point where I was really struggling with the commute and the, like, trying to juggle everything, being the last mum to pick up at nursery, having my kids stood there holding their coats, you know, and the disappointed look on the person's face of like, you know, you're going to get a fine later for this. And, you know, all that massive stress. And I just, I liked my job, but
what was it you were doing? What were you doing?
So I was like a program director in London agencies, in advertising agencies in London. So running big programs of work like Aston Martin, Specsavers, BMW.
Did you come up with should have gone thing. To Specsavers?
I wish I fucking did. But no, fuck. I lost my way. But I loved it, but it just didn't work for me from a family point of view. And I remember sitting there with Tilda. She must have been a few months old. She's my middle child, and she's now 7. And I was thinking, I was looking for some stuff to do because I am a mum that is massively better out than in. I am not good around the house. I'm not a domestic goddess. I'm not, you know, I'm not.
I don't know what that's like. My house is very neat. I love being in my messy, my very neat home.
Oh, it's like living with Marie Kondo.
Oh, I know. You can't even see things. It's just surfaces.
I'm just like, I'd rather just fuck off the washing and get out, if I'm honest with you. I find it really stressful. I find my house another job, basically. And I just, no matter how much I do, it's like a combine harvester. I'm working out the front and it just seems to be, you know, like shitting out the back. Nothing seems to change.
Yeah. Oh, that's really exactly right. Yeah.
And I just find it really stressful, and I'm not my best person. I'm not a good mom at home, really, I'll be honest. And I think I'm my best when I'm out. So I was anyway looking online for things to do, and I was looking at all the different resources out there. And bearing in mind this is 2017 now, and things have changed in that landscape. But at that time, I just thought, there is nothing here that really appeals to me. This is all horrible websites. I can't make sense of it. Facebook is just an ongoing list. And you know when you find something you want to do on Facebook, and then you mention it, and you go, oh, let me go and find it again. You can never find it again.
No.
You can never find a post again that you've ever found once, ever, on Facebook. Mm. Facebook groups are a nightmare. So I thought to myself, right, we need actually a TripAdvisor type thing for parents looking for things to do. And I was like, oh my God, I'm just going to make one.
Mm.
And so like my background, obviously, in digital marketing massively lent itself. So I knew what to do. I knew how to make a website. I knew how to like construct it and how to build it and how to like create content for it and how to do all those sorts of things. And so about a year later, after having built the site and kind of created all the like a whole set of original content for it, it was born. And the thing that makes it kind of unique to some of the other sites out there is, or I think the one thing that makes it unique to all sites is that everything on there is a parent recommendation. So everything has been added by another parent who's actually been, bought the t-shirt, spent the money, you know, either had a good, probably had a good time, hopefully. Because the point of it was, it's Wiki Places, kind of like a play on the word wicked, so wicked places for kids. And the only difference with TripAdvisor is TripAdvisor's become a bit of a complaints portal, don't you think?
Like, it's a bit moany, isn't it?
So when you're looking on TripAdvisor, you've got, you know, 50% really negative stuff and then 50% positive. So you're still kind of weighing up like, is it good? And especially like right now, people are like time poor, they're penny poor, you know, they're tolerance poor, I think. We've all got to the end of our tether.
Yeah, we've got no time, and also our concentration. Like, no, I want just get to the bit. Is it good or is it shit? Like, exactly. You know, that's it.
I've got no time. So you want a recommendation. Generally, you're going to go, right, what does my friend say? I want a recommendation for my friend.
And this that's is why we're setting up our new website, Dick Advisor, for people who are new to dating in their 40s. Yeah. But anyway,
exactly.
Carry on.
Exactly,
yeah.
Recommendations only.
Yeah.
Get some nice pictures.
Will he go down? That's all my friends.
Will he
like
stay that. Down? That's the big question.
Yeah.
What are his redeeming features and what's his star rating?
Yeah.
Cut or uncut?
Yeah. Front door, back door. Thank you very much.
As usual, we've lowered the tone. Sorry.
We're talking about much nicer things.
So it's a guide for parents. As you say, by parents is the key thing.
By parents, for parents. And it's basically a hub of word of mouth. So everything on there you know has already been recommended. So it's kind of a shortcut to finding things to do. And then I also, because I've managed to build a little bit of a platform on Instagram now, like going on days out, so I've become a bit of like a chief recommender.
Right.
So I go to places and find out whether they're good and do, you know, authentic reviews, and that's the kind of thing. So it's the whole site and my app, which is basically just another way to access the information through a slightly different way, and my platforms are all there to help people, really.
She's a multimedia.
I'm a connector. More than ever, you just want to know that you're going to go somewhere that isn't going to waste your time. And also, you want an honest review, because I don't know, like, I've got 3 completely different age kids now. I've got a 4-year-old and up to a 9-year-old, and they are completely different human beings. They could even be from a different family. They're so different. They don't really like each other very much. They don't want to do the same thing. One of your questions to me yesterday, actually, which I was thinking about, it is really difficult to go out with children, I think, of really different ages, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what I try to do is find on the app and on the website, you can basically filter and go, right, I've got children aged 4, 7 and 9, and because other people have recommended a place based on its based on age group, it will filter for you already, so it'll cut out everything that they don't think is good. So, you know, loads of places I think are set up for like a younger age group, and I think there is a massive thing. So I've had quite a lot of comments in the past while I've been running this business by people saying, oh, you just don't have enough for older kids, like why aren't you catering for it, like and it's like, actually the problem is it isn't catered for. It isn't that I'm not catering for it, but there seems to be a point where you hit kind of, I don't know, 8 I think is a bit of a cut off, but mostly I think it's around 10, 12, and suddenly it just drops off.
Yeah.
All things become mega expensive.
They do. Yeah.
And I think people are finding it more difficult. And lots of people do have money in their pocket still, but what I'm sensing from my audience anyway is that actually people are finding it a real struggle.
Mm.
And also my clients who I do work with, who are activity centres of different kinds, like farm parks through to theme parks, they have really noticed that people aren't, especially so recently we had a really brilliant space, like phase of sunshine, didn't we? It was awesome. So, and in those days, more so than ever, people are just going, right, I'm not going to go and spend loads of money on days out. They're finding other ways of spending their time and choosing to do things which are either much cheaper or completely free. Because you can, because actually it's so much... when it's sunny, you feel like you can do anything, aren't you?
Yeah.
Rainy days indoors, they do suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't they?
And that's when you want... Yeah. I just... Because we've got near us the Peck and Plex cinema, and I'm like, oh, let's choose the longest film you can. Because like the new Indiana Jones film, nearly 3 hours. That takes, you know, and it's £5 a pop, and you go, all right, well, that fills that up. Probably should be outside, but it's... it's cheap.
Yeah. But even then, on like when it's really sunny, it's actually sometimes you've got to get the kids away from the sunshine, especially if you've got little ones. You can't actually go, right, I'm going to spend the entire day. So you do need things. It was going to be one of the things I suggested, is that there are loads of these little cinemas, independent, more independent cinemas across the country. I don't know if you know, feel like the same, but if you go to Cineworld or Odeon, you're literally shelling out about what it feels like £150 to go to the cinema for a family of five. It's mental. And I mean, it does feel almost like an epic day out going to a place like that. But I just really love supporting the smaller, hidden, sort of more unheard of places, especially like they are going to be the ones that fold in, you know, in this sort of climate that we're in as well. Mm. So there's tons of places near me in Milton Keynes. There's the MK Gallery. It's a really small, all like .org type place, but it's again, it's like between £3 and £5 to go to the cinema. It's exactly the same. You know, Little Mermaid is currently on. That's where we're at this week, I think. And they don't have as many showings, and they haven't bought it for as long a period. Obviously, they don't have the sort of same licences. Mm. But it makes a massive difference. You go to the cinema for £15 for a family instead of going for 50 or more.
Like, I love the Catford Mews, which is just down the road, and it's like £6.90, I think, for adults. And and it's very comfortable because, as you know, Helen, I like a nap in a cinema. That's my favourite thing. I cannot remember the last time I stayed awake for a child's film. Do you remember we went to see Puss in Boots and I was asleep before the opening credits. Oh, I woke up again at the end. I felt fucking great.
Yeah, I love a cinema nap. And also, it's a very wonderful thing. That's a life hack, actually, on a Sunday afternoon. If you've had a party night and then you're like, let's have some proper quality family time. And then, and then... So I have been known to snore.
Movies for juniors. So that's Saturday and Sunday mornings. It's also super cheap, and that's where you can get in your hangover nap.
Yeah. I genuinely think you should review cinemas by the quality of the nap you can have.
Yeah.
Huge fan of the Blue Water Cinema. It is more expensive, but all of the seats are recliners.
Oh, my God.
You can properly get...
Take your pill. Yeah. Your what's it called? The blow-up pillow from the airplane. Just quietly...
No, my mate was like, oh, how was Ant-Man Quantumania? And I was like, well, the first 8 minutes were brilliant, and then the nap was fantastic. Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great. But I wanted to go back to what you said about how you're an outings person, so you're ideally suited for this job, obviously, because you love going out and about. And I'm like thinking, am I? And I'm like, I don't know if I am, because I really like being at home. I'm really lazy. But then I do like, let's be honest, Susie, the smuggery. The smug feeling of going, I've taken my children out, and that means we can now go home and watch television for 3 hours and not feel quite so bad about it.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. So I think if you are like me, more that way inclined. Have you got any sort of life hacks for how we make these things more appealing or more bearable if we're not naturally outgoing out people?
100%. So I am a pack person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like the pack mentality. So I am definitely an extrovert. I get my energy probably not from my children, but from other women. I love my friends and my friendships. And so I think this is my biggest advice for anybody that catches this in the summer holidays. If you can be at all organised, try to plan in advance who you're going to go with before you've even thought about where you're going. Because if you can sync up going on days out with a group of mates, actually, I just think it's that whole safety in numbers thing.
Mm. Do the toilets, I'll get the pizza. An extra pair of hands is so important.
100%. And I'm not even talking about going with your husband or your partner or whatever.
Who wants to pay to have a fight in a museum? Fuck off.
Exactly. No. I find more now. I mean, it wasn't like this necessarily a few years ago, but the more, you know, I do go on loads of days out, and I find that my kids are really quite hard work. And I obviously paint this picture on Instagram with a really amazing reel that's like, look at her, Minnie Mouse with her family. You know, like, looks like I'm having an amazing time. And I am having a good time. Most of the time when I'm on camera, which is also most of the time. But I find that if I'm with... We've got to a point now where if we don't go with another group of mates, Jacob is having a crap time.
And is Jacob the...
He's the oldest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's oldest. He's 9. He's always hangry. He's really, you know, he's a tricky kid. He's only into football, not really into anything else. That said, he's really, really active, you know. He's like, he loves all the climbing and all that kind of thing. But he now really wants a friend there all the time. So we went to a festival at the weekend, like this family-friendly festival. And he just was cross the entire time because basically he was bored. He didn't have a mate to kick about a football about with. He didn't have a mate to bounce off. And, you know, he's basically a chip off the old block because he clearly gets his energy as an extra from his mates too. We're no different. Mm. But we just all, like, we can just rub each other up the wrong way on a day out. And then you have this, and that's what's so disappointing, I think, for families and at the mum especially, to put all this effort and thought behind going on a day out. You know, it's not just the going. You've actually been thinking about it for weeks, haven't you? You've thought about where you're going to go. You planned, you've got your days sorted, you know, you've got your flipping, as you said, like, suitcase of stuff to take with you. So that's before you've even left. So getting out of the house is hard. And then you're there. And then you don't have the time that you had in your head that you were going to have. And it's gutting.
Mm.
But if you can go with a pack, I think it makes a massive difference. Because we recently also went to Gulliver's, which is like a really smallish type theme park in Milton Keynes, which is set up supposedly for small families or younger families. And I went just with my 2 girls. So I didn't take Jacob that day. This is not really Gulliver's fault, but we ended up having a pretty awful day. And it was because I went on spur of a moment, wasn't able to bring my pack with me of mates and their families. As such, we were like, we just fell over at every hurdle.
Mm.
All the rides needed the children to have an adult with them. I was one adult with 2 that both needed an adult.
Yeah.
Every time one of them got almost to the front of the queue, one of them needed a wee. So we kept having to abandon queues. I know. I mean, these are like rookie errors that I've been on. I'm like a seasoned day outer, and I'm making them.
You're literally a professional. Yeah. You're still fucking
up. Still fucking up. Because I'm just a normal mum on a day out trying to manage children that are like feral, trying to run off into, you know, who say they don't need the toilet when you're stood in the toilet and then clearly do 10 minutes later.
Oh, that boils, that literally boils my pitch.
Like, I just asked you whether you needed to go.
And every time I said, do you need the toilet? No. And then we'll be like 10 minutes from home on the train and they are literally about to wet their pants and we've got to run. And I'm like, we're going to go. And like, and sometimes I just have to say, well, I'm not leaving until you've done a wee.
Yeah.
Because I know this bullshit. You say you don't, and then you do.
Yeah.
And makes me so cross.
So, I mean, that and multiple other things that kept coming up on the day. But
some days it just goes wrong, doesn't it?
It is to do with your mood and like, and you know, I can change the atmosphere with my mood as well because I'm just that sort of person. I think if you can get loads of mates around you, firstly, the kids have got other people to play with.
Yeah, so they're entertained.
You're having a good time because you're talking with other adults for the day as well. And I think overall, everyone generally has a much better time. You can do that whole thing of divide and conquer. So, you take them to the loo. I'll take them over there. I'll get the ice cream. Whereas if you do try to go just as a family, I find that it's difficult.
Mm. And also it's that weird pressure. We're like, we're going to have a good time together. Yeah. Everyone's having quality time. And I sometimes think that that pressure, you overthink it and you sometimes miss like the little pockets of joy. You're like, no, we're having this good time now. And then you get to, you know, you set the bar too high.
Exactly that. And that was another thing I was going to say about a hack. It's not really a hack, but I just think if we just all like managed our expectations a bit better, I have got to a point with both being at home with my kids and being on days out where I have just tried really hard to readjust my expectations of what it's going to be. And the fact is, we are at a stage now where my kids have very different needs. And so on a day out, we might well need to divide and conquer. So there are places...
We use that phrase a lot. Yes. Divide and conquer, Even my son starts saying it like, Mum, do you think you should just divide and conquer?
We often have, you know, we've had a few days out with Ellie and Pete and she's like, Pete, you take Joe, I'll take Charlie. You know, like... It's your turn. Your turn with that child. My turn with this turn. But yeah, that's good though. It's good you could go. You know.
I think it's just being honest, isn't it? Because I think if you keep trying to force it to be like something that's not ever properly going to be.
So, and again, not always possible if you're a single mum on your own. Yeah. But that's why it's better to go, isn't it? If you can.
This is it. I went on as a when I was at Gulliver's the other day. I was single, solo parenting. That way. And it was really hard and it didn't work in that environment. And I did speak to a lady behind me who was a single parent and she was crying behind me in the queue. She was like, we came today and I thought it was going to be really great for the girls, but they're both under that threshold where they're not allowed to go on anything on their own. I can't take them. I can't leave one on the side because they're both under four. And it was so sad. And she then told me her whole story about how I was supposed to be coming with my partner, but we've broken up and blah, blah, blah. And I just was stood there going, oh God, love, like, this is awful. This is terrible. This place is not set up to be inclusive for all family types, and you know, and this is. But I think overall, my biggest hack is manage your expectations. Know that you might have to divide and conquer in amongst your pack. You know, if you go to, there are places that will handle all ages of kids. Like, I know that you've been to CBeebies Land, you know, for example. So that's obviously amongst Alton Towers. So you've got places that are suited to massive kids and you've got places that suit, but you have to divide and conquer in that setting.
I'm having flashbacks.
You loved it, didn't you, Ellie?
The weather was a little my son loved it. That was the main thing. It pissed down all day and it was just like me and Joe, and I was like, I'll take Dad, brilliant, then Dad can drive us and there'll be another adult there, right? We'll go in a pack and it'll
be
great.
Two adults, one child.
So I talk about all ages. We were staying in the Octonauts bedroom, which is all lovely. And it was like a family room. And I said to Dad, right, you can have the double bed because he's fucking 70 old or whatever. You have the double bed. Me and Joe will have the bunk bed. Joe insisted on changing beds in the middle of the night and I bashed my shin on the metal bunk bed and I could hear my dad just snoring away in the king size bed and I was like, fuck my life, this is like, oh. And then we went home and then Joe insisted on having the gruffalo, like, you know, when they get into there they would only have one song and normally you would probably say no but you're so tired you're just like whatever. So we listened to the gruffalo song in the rain for about 48 minutes, by which point I was asking my dad, I was begging my dad to drive into oncoming traffic.
Just in it now. I've had enough.
But we've all had this. What's been your worst day out, Helen, do you think?
Oh.
Or have you got one, Susie?
No, you go first.
I remember I was in Legoland, but Legoland Denmark, and it just started to rain. And then one of the children was having a tantrum, and I thought, and we were in a queue, and it was a rope, you know, it was roped off. And I said, right, we're getting out. And I had a massive backpack on. And I remember trying to get out, but my backpack got stuck. And then I was trying to go through the rope sort of barrier. And then I wet myself. I pissed and I was covered and I couldn't move. And then I was laughing so much, I wet myself even more. And I thought, this is a low. This is a real... I've come all the way to Denmark to make dreams come true.
Oh.
And I'm in the rain, wetting myself.
Pisty and Anderson.
Oh, my God. I remember that. That was... And I remember Hugo refusing to eat anything because, you know, it was Denmark and they'd run out of Lego shaped chips. Like they were like, you know, like Smash that had been molded into Lego bricks.
How can they run out?
Like, I don't know. Anyway, so but we did go back a few years later, and it was excellent because I was there just with me and my children, and Hugo got a bit better. But I just remember that being a low, like lying on my back, trapped with my backpack, being pissed on and pissing myself, and the kids kind of going, "You're embarrassing us." I'm like, oh. But yeah, but it was, that's the thing. It was his eighth birthday. I wanted it to be beautiful, and it was just. All hard
it's
work.
It's expectation. Yeah. I think you're right. It's that. I mean, I'm not sure there's much you could have done in that to prepare to weather the situation.
Just everything just felt hard.
But I've had those days where I feel like it's two things. Like, you've got to have, like, lower expectations, but also you've got to prep. And if you fuck up both of those things, then the day's like we went to Margate years ago.
Oh, my God, this is amazing. Oh, God.
When Joe was, like, a baby. And really naively,
day out.
We were like, yes, we're going to, and I don't know why, like now, well, I do know why, because Joe didn't sleep, right? He was one of these kids who just didn't sleep and he'd been premature. And so we were all getting over that still. And it was just, I was mad. I know now I was a mad person, but you don't see that at the time.
Mm.
So I'm like, no, we'll go to the seaside. We don't even like the fucking seaside. We're not beach people. We've got Scottish and Irish heritage. We're all the colour of paper. I was like, why are we why are we going, what? But we were like, no, that's what we do. We drive to the south coast, we went to Margate. And of course we left like 2 hours later than we planned because baby shit. So when we got there in the middle of the day, guess what? There's nowhere to park in Margate in the middle of August on a Saturday. And so we drove around for hours, eventually found a multi-story car park that was like horrible and full of piss and like 5 miles away from anything. And by this time everyone's starving and we've got a toddler and this baby and we're just like, oh, and we couldn't even find anywhere that had any space for us. It's like 3 in the afternoon by this point. We're all miserable and hungry. Eventually we find this pizza place and they've got a table. And we're like, brilliant. So we get Joe in the high chair and we unfold the buggy and we put it all away, and then we sit down and they bring us the menus and we're like, oh, we've made it. And they go, just to let you know, the kitchen has just closed as we're a bit busy, so we won't be taking any orders for 45 minutes. And you know, when you're like, oh! Eventually we went to the beach, which of course was absolutely rammed. There was literally like a beach, one beach towel size, and then the big one didn't want to go in the fucking sea anyway. The highlight of the day was on the way back to the car, we passed the Tesco's and got some crisps.
Yeah.
And we got in the car and we were like, I don't think I ever want to go to the beach again in this country, because that was
the beach is done. Done the beach. That's it.
It's like, but we should. That's us being dicks. We should have got up early. We should have made sandwiches. We should have just
booked a restaurant. Maybe.
It's depressing, but you can't just assume everything's going to be all right.
I think that's it with children though, and that's the sad fact. You just have to be just a tiny bit of organisation makes this massive kind of. Difference, because I was thinking, children aren't going to define me. I'm still easy breezy. They do fucking change you. They do.
Yeah.
Definitely. You can't avoid it. Because if the children don't eat, that we had this chat the other day about, you remember you were saying about Charlie's birthday and Joe hadn't eaten and he was a bit hungry. And if you don't feed the, you don't get the window of food, they're really annoying.
They're vile. Yeah. I was thinking when you asked all of my fails, of which there are so many, because, I know I'm a seasoned, go out and that kind of thing, but I am not very organised as a person. I'm not that organised alpha mum. So, I do all the days out and it makes me look like, oh, God, look at her. How does she do it? But I am the disorganised one. So all of my fails have been my not having that spare change of clothes that they need, obviously. You know, taking them in hot clothes when it's a cold day and vice versa.
No tissues. It's the snotty kids. Yeah.
I turned up to London Zoo once in that January, and neither of us had bought coats for the kids. We just left them at home. Because we thought the other one had, or I don't know what.
Yeah.
You know, and I never bring enough snacks, and I've never gotten, and it, you know, and then you get all these lovely comments, oh, well, we should have had enough snacks then, shouldn't you? And all, it's like, well, if I don't know that. I just had to get out the house, though. It's really hard to get out the house. You think that you're organised.
It's so many variables, isn't it?
Yeah. And then you might on one day just forget cow pull, and that was the one thing that was the most important thing that day.
Yeah.
So.
And you've got 3 children, Susie.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Very different needs. It's chaos. It is a zoo at our house, you know, it's very different. But I'm trying really hard. I'm going to be really annoyingly wanky right now and say, I've become acutely aware right now that I'm wishing my all this time away all the time.
Yeah.
And I keep spending time with people who have teenagers who keep reminding me actually that they're that bit of that when they were little has gone like in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So right now I'm trying to be really grateful.
How's that working out for you?
trying to be really grateful for the fact. I think what I'm trying to do is start, is kind of give less fucks, if I'm completely honest.
Yeah, let some things go.
And I'm finding that this is working for me a bit. You know, I really do struggle. Like, my anxiety can sometimes go through the roof. It has been through the roof recently. And right now, I'm finding that my house is kind of getting on top of me a bit. I can't seem to keep, like, you know, I can't manage it.
It never ends. It never ends.
Like, we're sat in Ellie's lovely front room right now, and I have to tell everybody this is gorgeous and clean,
Susie,
and there's nothing here.
You've got three.
Little ones.
Four. My house did not look like this when I had a four-year-old. Helen will be the first to tell you that.
You could almost not see the car because it was all Octonauts and Lego.
True, that whole corner was just piles of shit.
And, like, there was McDonald's, toys, all sorts of things. But also, that's the stage we were at. Like, my house as well. Like, my children are 12 and 14, and my brother's at home, like, finally, like, painting things, and, like, I finally, you know, got some space and energy in which I can... And also, it's nice to make the house nice because the kids aren't going to fucking cover it in crap.
Now.
You know, things like that. But it is a stage, and someone said... I think it was TB's Cherry Healy. She said, "You're in peak hour at the moment." In
rush hour,
rush hour, where it's just full on. Yeah. And I think, and you can only control so much. And I think it's good to let some things go.
I'm just starting to think, you know, because I think that we're also in this time where we're under pressure as women to do everything and to be everything. So if I think about my mum, you know, I'm an only child for starters. That's a difference, like, a massive difference. But also, my mum worked... sort of a part-time kind of role. I'm entrepreneurial. I've got about 7 different things going on. Life is fuller than ever. I'm 50-50 income in our house, you know. And I do think we're in a different time. We're under pressure to try and be everything, and yet loads of the stuff still hasn't given either. So I'm still kind of COO of the house, you know, doing most of that sort of thing as well. Rob is great. He might hear this, so you're great. And he does do a lot, but I still find that I'm the one in the house quite a lot with the kids, and it does.
So is it 50-50 then? Would you say it's 50 or 60?
Well, it's 50-50 income. Probably not completely 50-50 on the other
admin
side of the stuff. Yeah. So I'm just trying to, I don't know, give myself a bit more of a break around certain things to make it a bit more enjoyable, because otherwise I find myself, you know, like I said, with the combine harvester, I'm busy trying to chug forward, trying to make that bit clean, and it's not changing behind me. It's actually getting worse. I've started thinking, do you know what? Just leave it, walk out, go out. What's the difference? If you might do all this now, put yourself under 20 minutes of massive stress trying to get that clear. Most of the time, I'm the one taking on the stress. No one's actually forcing me to get the house straight. But that said, there's the flip side of I feel a lot less stressed mentally when it's clear. You know, it's that whole thing. When you've got a blank canvas, it does feel a bit more manageable. But yeah, I think that's how.
I have exactly that mentality as well, but I had to work hard on, and still do, but especially when they were younger, with going, maybe the kid shit, like, maybe that's just temporary. When I'm like 65, hopefully I'll have all day to tidy up a house and there'll be no fucking Octonauts in it, but maybe that's what that is. But I would say that's still a daily thing of, like, sometimes I do walk into their bedroom and go, oh God, you know, this is it's just mental. Whereas other days I'm able to just close the door and go, well, fuck it. But it's hard. But I would just say, like, be easy on yourself as well. Like, at 4 and 7 and 9, I mean, just give up is what I'm saying, Susie. Lower your expectations. Stop even trying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah. But a very beautiful moment last night. My son had made his own dinner. My daughter had made her own dinner, actually. And, you know, I've got washing to do and all sorts of stuff. And I thought, oh, I'll just make myself dinner later. And they were sitting and chatting. And I was like, oh, I've got these two loads of washing. And then I've got this other thing. And my son just said, Mum, you need to take a break. And I thought, there's my two beautiful children sitting there. And actually being quite nice. Put down the washing. It can wait 10 minutes. Sit down, exactly. Silly bitch.
Be with him for a minute. Yeah. This is actually something I was going to say. If I wasn't doing what I do, I think I'd be aiming for maybe one-ish day out a week across the 6-week, 7-week holiday, just to, you know, something which is like a bit different to the park type thing. I mean, maybe I would call it like a big day out. And I don't mean like from an expense point of view, but I mean
effort.
Something to like break up the monotony of the week. So one big thing. And
I found that's good as well, because then it's like a pivot almost, and it's like you kind of, again, you don't feel too shit that they watch Netflix for 4 hours on Tuesday, because you know on Wednesday we're going to get up at 7 and get on a train.
And you've got something, like, exactly, you've got a focal point of the week, you can build up to it, you can get down from it, you can build up and build out. So, but I think if possible, lean massively into that pack that you've got as well. So I definitely this year will be asking friends of mine if we can kind of do kid swaps. So you have my kid for the day, I'll take your kid for the day, so that they actually do tons of play dates. Because as I said, I think my kids get the most fun, honestly, from, I'm not that mum that's down on the floor doing games and like, I don't know, it's not me. I don't think that makes me a bad person. It's just I'm good at other stuff. I think that my kids are craving that one-to-one time. Like your son last night, sit down with me, mum, for 10 minutes. I think if I can just try and farm out a couple of mine once or twice during the holidays so that I can do some of the things, like, say, Jacob, there's this awesome place called Gripped, which I want to get you girls to with your kids. I think you're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. Somewhere like that is really good for a kid that's over 1.4 metres. So, you know, obviously the little ones aren't, it's not going to work for them. That is the sort of place that you could go like one-on-one with them and not feel guilty that the other two haven't got involved. Because A, they're actually not big enough maybe to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could go like, right, you go off and have a day with your mates and like have a play day and I'll take you out. That way as well, if you are on a budget, and tons of us are, you're not having to think, you know, as a family of four or two, you know, you can be like one adult, one child, we will have a go off and we'll make some memories. Because I think the other thing is, if I think back to what memories are about, I think kids go, yeah, Disneyland's fun, like Thorpe Park's fun, Alton Towers is fun. They know that. But if I think back to what is making core memories, I think it's about those repetitive things you did as kids, like, I don't know, potholing, crabbing, I don't know, doing stuff that was a bit less...
I grew up in Catford, Susie. There's not a lot of crabbing. Not a lot of crabbing. I mean, people get crabs quite regularly, but if that's what you mean.
But do you know what I mean? Like the more simple stuff, actually, like, you might remember... Because I grew up, actually, right next to the sea in Eastbourne, and we didn't do potholing and crabbing either. But
it was right there, Susie!
But it was there to do it, and I remember not doing it. So my memories, though, are of, like, more... Or things like, we did this thing called sloppy swamps. I mean, and my friend Michelle, we used to hang out in the Eastbourne beach. It's all pebbly, so it wasn't sandy like you imagine. It's going to be amazing. But we used to find these areas of sand amongst the like all the pebbly bits where it's all kind of, and we'd like fill it with all the seawater, and it was called sloppy swamps. Anyway, for some reason I was thinking about driving here, it's like those are the things I really remember. I'm like, over and over again, that we used to do. Those are things I do remember with my parents. So I was thinking this year, if I'm going to go on days out with the kids, maybe I can just go with Jacob. Maybe I can just go with Tilda and just go with Lily and stuff. Because then I can do stuff that's really right for their age. It's one-to-one. Actually,
so nice.
They're going to
one
remember.
One child is really awesome.
And I know it's difficult if you've not got a partner to sort of go, like, you have them for that day. But if you can share them amongst your mates and then offer that back. Because I don't know, in my house, if I've got another kid's, I know it sounds awful having another kid in the house, but actually it really takes the pressure off having the friend, because Jacob's dealt with then. He's occupied.
Yeah, and in a really fulfilling way.
Oh, I love
way.
Having kids around. Yeah.
It's much easier. And then I'm like, right, you guys, spend whatever time on your Switch. But eventually I do find that they do, after a bit of time, they will stop and they will go outside and play football.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's just us at home, he might not. He might spend 5 hours on the Switch. And that's the other thing I was going to say. I think in the summer holidays, when you are at home, if you can't get out and you just don't have the budget or the inclination, and you just need to be at home, I think it's okay to be like, fine, you're going to have... You have your Switch for a bit of time, have the telly for a bit of time. I think a massive hack is have absolutely shit loads of paper. This is something I always fall down on. Have loads of paper and pens that actually work. And it sounds like obvious, but it's not obvious in my house. Kids are like, can I have some paper, Mum? And I'm like, oh, actually, don't even know if I've got some. Yeah. I think that's a big thing for the holidays. Just have tons of paper and pens.
Just put it out. I think... If I have it, they'll pick it up. But if it's always neat and behind the cupboard, they're not going to, you know, I've got FEMO and all sorts of bits and bobs that we can use up kind of thing.
Yeah. I think it's good.
Absolutely. And look, I've banged on about video games for the last 40 years, but genuinely, I don't think that, I've said this before, I think games are great because I think, depending on the game, obviously, and making sure it's age appropriate, they're solving problems and they're using their brain often. And when they're playing together, like I love it when Charlie plays games with his mates because they're communicating and talking and working stuff out and having a laugh. And pound for pound, they're bloody good value. They're not cheap. I know games are not cheap. But you are maybe, even if you're looking at like some of the more expensive ones, like 40, 50 quid, they can last like the fucking years. Zelda games, like 100 hours or something, batshit.
Yeah.
Like in terms of, again, going somewhere that's maybe a really fun activity, but for an hour. Yeah. What I'm saying is we should all just let our children on the PlayStation all day. And then if you're a good parent, that's what you'd be doing. Yeah,
exactly.
Like
exactly right.
I don't know if you've ever tried this. Someone told me this a couple of years ago and I did try it. I tried it in lockdown, then forgot about it completely and then tried it again in one of the summers. You know the snacking thing? It drives me mad when the kids are constantly, like they go through your cupboards like termites, you know, you're like, oh my God, we've got to go to the shops again. This works quite well, is at the beginning of the day, kind of putting all the snacks for each kid into their own box and basically saying to them,
that's your allocation.
Exactly This is your snacks for the day. You can eat it all now, like by 9 a.m. if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
Can drag it out as long as, you know, for the rest of the day, but there is no more.
Exactly what each of my children would do in that situation.
Yeah.
But they might do it for the first week.
Exactly,
and then,
you've got to stick with it, haven't you?
Yes, we have names in the house called, are you a nibbler or a gobbler? if you gave my children a packet of sweets each, Hugo would just go, like eat it all, like he cannot eat sweets fast enough. And Matilda meticulously has one at a time. And then Hugo will try and steal the sweets. Like when we're... Hugo will have finished all his sweets before the movie has even started.
Amazing. Yeah. That's
and Matilda, and then it will drive him fucking nuts that she has just carefully allocated her Haribo. And we have to count out the Haribo. Yeah, otherwise, they'll probably fucking punch each other in the face.
This is
our lives.
This is my kids.
Fucking savages.
Yeah.
I've got a hack. So if you're in a queue, so if you're in a theme park or something like this, there's this game that when we went to Disney World last year, we saw these people in the queues doing it. Like, it's called Heads Up and it's a phone game. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sort of hard to explain, but you basically put the phone on your head, on your forehead, and it comes up with a word and the other players have to like describe the word without using the word, right? We've all done it. And it is so fun. I think it's free, and then there's like a food pack and a superheroes pack and all that you can buy for like a quid or something. And it's so fun, and it's got us through those shitty 2-hour queues at museums and theme parks many times. And it's so good that the other night we played it in the pub, me and you and Stephen.
God, it's so funny.
Because we were just a bit bored.
I couldn't do the flicky thing. And I was like, but it was good fun. Now listen, Susie, one more question about, can you tell us about the network that you have set up of other business women, biz women, women in the biz?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, definitely. During lockdown, when my business basically shut overnight when we went into lockdown, I plunged into the depths of loneliness, and it was just super hard. And as I said, I'm an extrovert, so I really struggled without having that community of people to see and like doing stuff. And I very quickly realised that I needed to pull my, you know, tribe around me, I suppose. And so I created a group. I created all these amazing connections with women in business over the time I've been on Instagram mainly. So I kind of created a WhatsApp group initially. I was like, right, we're just going to support each other. We're going to help each other survive this really tricky time. Basically, almost 2 years on now, it's become the Wiki Mama Network. It's this incredible group of other women in business, female founders who will push each other higher, who like are just an amazing community. We've got masses of expertise from finance, law, social media, PR, loads of different things in the group.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And we are, it's a kind of networking for people who might feel quite lonely in business, because it can be if you're, you know, if you're a one-man band, but you might also really hate that kind of traditional networking where you have to walk into a room, be ready with an elevator pitch, you know, be
suited and booted and
booted, all high heels and, you know, and shoulder
pads. We're
not
Americans.
No.
And there is a place for that kind of networking, absolutely. And I know some people love that whole, like, let's swap business cards and whatever, but this is something completely different for people who, women who really want a group or community around them, who are going to become real friends, who really actually care about your success and really want to push you further. Yeah. It's like, it's, I don't know if you've experienced this, but, you know, I have amazing friends, but weirdly for my business has never been supported so strongly by people, more than by people I've never met before.
How do people find this network, or how can you be part of it? And do you have to be in the UK?
No, we don't have to be in the UK. I think we do face-to-face meetups and online meetups. So there's lots of things that we do to kind of bring everybody together. But we go to the Cotswolds every quarter for basically a bit of a brunch. It's just so nice. It's like a little holiday out for the day. So I think it probably is a good thing to be in the UK if you can get to some of this stuff, but you don't have to be. But yeah, it's you can find me at the Wiki Mama Network on Instagram. Come and join.
And now, that was a very unscummy thing, but shall we now go into the scummy mummy confession?
Let's go, Susie.
With three children.
God, you had a few. So I consulted my NCT group. I know how you love an NCT group.
That's right. Why didn't you ask your real friends?
I consulted them and asked them for my list of parenting fails, because I knew that they'd be forthcoming. It was one winter, not long after I'd had Lily, and we desperately had to go and get the kids' coats after school. We went into Centre MK, we were up in the Gap, in Gap, looking for these coats. And I had that horrible sinking feeling. You know when you get that warmth between your legs?
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was oh my God.
It's been a few years, but I remember it.
Yeah. Basically, I was profusely bleeding through all my clothes.
It was
one of those situations, because basically this is one of my first, I think the first
it's the flood, it's the absolute tsunami of blood.
It was awful, and I was so unprepared. And this is what I mean about being unprepared. We had rushed out of school, rushed there, because I was like, and I thought, no, it's fine, you know, I think I did have something in, but it was like, but when I got there, I was like, oh my God, I've literally gone through that, through my pants, through my clothes. What the fuck? And I didn't have anything else with me, because I thought we were just going to pop in. And that's the thing. You know, we'll pop in 10 minutes.
Going to Costa and, it's all a disaster.
Yeah, like the one time I arrived at Sainsbury's without the nappy bag and thought, oh, it'll be fine. I'm literally going in to get some bacon and eggs. We literally walked through the door. The child shat himself all the way up the back, like not just in the nappy, but anyway, sorry. Well, this is about you.
Well, it's funny. It's funny you should mention nappies, because basically only thing I had with me was one of Lily's nappies.
Oh no.
And so the true confession is, basically I had to wear a nappy home. I wrapped it around me and I had to sit in the car on the way home wrapped in a nappy, because it was the only thing I had to like literally deal with this situation.
For you.
Absolutely. The Bear Grylls of motherhood.
I was going to say, very practical.
We hoofed it out of Gap, hoofed it out of Centre MK and got home. And it's a proper low point of having to wear a nappy home from the town.
I think that's very sensible. And I told you it wouldn't be the worst thing we've ever heard. Just before you, we had a podcast this morning with a woman who shat on her sister's back. So as I say, well done you. It's actually quite nice. True story. Well, there we go. Thank you, Susie. I'm going to share, this is a days out related confession.
Oh, very good.
So it was whenever it was, a strike day or something the other week. And yes, I was like pack mentality. So I went with a couple of other mums and we decided to take our kids to the park at Brockwell. There's some little fountains. We looked at the swimming pool, but there was money. And I was like, fuck it, just stick them. As long as there's water spurting out somewhere, it'll be fine. So the night before I said to him, so we're going to go to the park tomorrow and we're going to go to the fountains. So like you need to wear like your swimming trunks. And he's like, what? No t-shirt. And I was like, yeah, it's just like, you know, it's a hot day. We just splash around. You just wear your trunks. It's going to be great. And he's like, but if I don't wear a t-shirt, I mean, I'll be showing my bare chest. And then people might think I'm, you know, the S word. And I was like, what would you mean the S word? And he's like, you know, the second worst S word. I was like, I don't know what you mean. And he's like, I'm not allowed to say it. And I was like, you can say it this one time. And he's like, okay, I'm worried that people might think I am sexy.
Oh my god.
Unwell. Oh. And I just started rolling on the floor laughing. Bless you, darling. Don't worry. It's not that sort of part. Keep an eye out. Thorn, have you got a confession for
me? Yeah, again, I had a lovely day out on Sunday. Went to the cinema with my two children and my new partner. It was all very nice, had a lovely time. And then we went out for burgers afterwards. And we were recounting our day before. And I'd taken my elder child, the teenager, to Pride, and I was like, yes, I'm a good mother, I'm supporting my child, having a good day at the Pride March. And the younger one was at a play date, but he'd forgotten his Oyster card, and so he was calling me. I was like, I'm trying to be supportive of this child. And the other one, he's like, Mom, I'm just gonna have to walk home from West Dulwich. So it was like an hour and 20 walk home by himself. Anyway, so he's recounting this story and he's like, oh, and I had to walk home by myself, and it was so vigorous.
Oh, bless him.
And we all, but we tried not to laugh, but it probably was a very vigorous walk. But yeah. So, but I had the dilemma because I was like going, how do I support both my children at the same time? There's one child walking home. I'm like, I think you're going to be okay. Just keep calling me as I'm, you know, supporting the child at the Pride March and watching the Pride March. And yeah, but in the end, I bribed the other one because the other one wanted to stay out, and I bought him £20 worth of delivery pizza, a 1.25 litre bottle of Tango, and two sides.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah, 2 hours by himself, and he ate all of the things. And everyone was happy.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Well, I think we've covered it all.
I feel, thank you, Susie, for not just being here. But what you do for mums and women, yes, you're brilliant.
I feel ready to cope with the last few weeks of the summer holidays now. I think we've got a plan. We've got a pack mentality.
Yeah. Yes.
Your website, which is, of course, wikiplacesforkids.com.
That's the one.
And the app.
And the app, Wiki Kids. That is actually called Wiki Kids. It is confusing, but yeah, Wiki Kids.
Yeah, yeah. And your lady business, is that?
Yeah,
lady business.
My lady business is at the Wiki Mama Network.
It's scummymummies.com, and we're going on tour. And if you want to buy some merchandise, do. But we might close the shop soon because it's not very successful.
Yeah, it's probably costing us money at this point. But
it is.
But the tour is good. So we're doing our greatest hit show at the moment, which is all the best jokes and sketches from the last 10 years. So, you know, the vagina costumes, they'll be out again, Helen.
Yes, and, we've been wearing vagina costumes for 7 years. It's almost like people know
us. Seven or eight, I can't remember. But it is definitely one of our trademark
as
looks.
Comedians for many years, that's one of our favourite things to wear.
That's definitely our shtick. So there we go. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I do feel calmer and ready to face the end of the summer. Oh, thank you, Susie, and thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
That's we the only put, life we'll, advice
we'll
I have
put
for anyone.
We'll put that link in the podcast.
I love you so. Will we? Who does the show notes?
It's a magical fairy.
We will.
Ellie, thank you.
Look, 10 years she's been doing it. Do go and check those out, and and check scummymummies.com.
Scummymummies.com. Wow. I can't even do our own website.
That serves me right. That is the universe, you see, as if I believed in it. But that's karma for me fucking taking the piss out of you. I can't even say my own website's name. Scummymummies.com is a different website. You'll find a whole other branch of content that has nothing to do with us on there, I'm sure.
No, that's a little side hustle we've got. And it's very profitable, actually, WikiCum. Anyway...
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien Podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com